The test is in four part, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
You'll hear a woman complaining about an item she has bought. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Smart Electricals, Mike speaking. How may I help you today?
Good morning. I'm calling to complain about an item I recently purchased from your company. I'm not happy with it.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. I'll take you through the company's complaints procedure. I'll need to retrieve your files from our records so that we can discuss the problem properly and find a solution. I'll need to take some details from you first. Is that okay?
Okay, but I don't have a lot of time. Will it take long?
Not long, madam. Can I first take your name?
Yes, it's Susan York. Y-O-R-K-E.
Okay. Can I have the address, please?
Yes, it's flat 1, 25 Alpine Avenue. That's A-L-P-I-N-E Avenue, Harchester. The postcode is HA65LD.
Okay, next. Could you give me your telephone number? Preferably one that we can call you on during normal working hours.
Well, the home one is 01734-525-268. But you're only likely to catch me on that number in the evenings. I usually have my mobile phone with me during the day, though.
It's probably best to take that number, then.
All right. My mobile number is 0781-233-452.
And do you have the order reference number on you, by any chance?
Well, I have the receipt that the camera came with in front of me.
Ah, good.
Which number is it? It's a bit confusing.
It should be the 7-digit number on the top left corner of your invoice.
Let me have a look. I need my glasses. Found it. It's DMX8443.
Thanks. Now, when did you purchase the item?
Well, the camera was delivered last Monday, on the 1st of February. I ordered it online about 2 weeks before that, but I can't remember the exact date.
If you have another look on the invoice receipt, the date should be there.
Oh, yes. Here it is. January the 15th.
Okay. I'll make a note of that. So, the item is a digital camera?
Yes, it's the Aqua PowerShot model, in silver.
Thank you. Did you take out any kind of insurance when you bought it?
Well, no. It was on special offer. I didn't need to pay any extra for the insurance because it came with a special 4-star policy.
Well, it means you're fully covered for at least another 3 years.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10.
Right. What is the problem?
Yes, the first thing is that it came with one memory card in the box when there were supposed to be two.
Oh dear. I'm terribly sorry about that. It must have been an oversight in the packing department. I can do something about that straight away and get one sent out to you.
Well, that's not the only thing. I bought it as a present for my niece because she loves swimming. It said on the website that it was waterproof, but when she took it on holiday and tried to use it underwater, it got ruined because water got into the lens. You can imagine how disappointed my niece was.
I certainly can. Were those the only problems?
No, there was one other thing. It came with a case to protect it. When I opened the box to take the case out, I saw that it had a big scratch on it.
We're really sorry about that. I can offer to have the camera repaired for you. In the event that it can't be repaired, we'll send you a replacement.
I don't think so. Seeing as it was faulty in the first place, I wouldn't want another one. I think I'd rather have my money back. Can I get a refund?
Yes, of course. If you send it back to customer services, I'll make sure it's dealt with.
Thank you very much.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear three students talking to their tutor about the presentation they are planning.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 17.
Good morning, everyone. So, you're going to tell me about your presentation. First of all, what's your topic? Did you say you were going to talk about the uses of mobile phones?
Not exactly. We're actually going to explain the dangers of using mobile phones.
Ah, okay. That sounds interesting. What are you going to discuss exactly?
Well, we've planned to divide the presentation into three sections. We'll have an introduction explaining why we think it's important to understand the dangers of mobiles. Then, on the second slide, we'll have a list of the different types of danger. And then on the last slide, we're going to suggest ways of staying out of danger when you use a mobile.
Yes, we want to start by telling the audience that using a mobile phone can be dangerous and then go into more detail in the next part.
OK, but before you talk about the dangers of mobiles, I think you should mention the advantages. You could put that in your introduction. It balances up the argument a bit.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Right, we'll do that.
So, shall we have a look at your presentation? Did you bring it with you?
I've got it here on a memory stick. Can we show you on your computer?
Yes, that's fine. Let's have a look. Right. As you say, you're going to add the advantages of using mobile phones to the first slide. Good. Who's going to explain the second slide with all the dangers?
That's me. Do you think I've got enough detail?
Yes. I think there's plenty of information, but I think it's all a bit mixed up at the moment. I mean, you've got dangers like getting headaches in the same list as having car accidents and being robbed in the street. They're all different types of danger, aren't they? I think you should divide them into groups, maybe under separate titles like health, accidents, and security.
Oh, right. Yes, thank you. That'll make it much clearer to the audience. Okay.
Now, in the third slide, You can put your suggestions for staying away from each of these dangers under separate titles.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 18 to 20.
Have you got any other questions?
Yes. The presentation should be for 10 minutes. Is that right?
Yes. But 10 minutes in total, including 3 minutes for questions. So you'll only talk for 7 minutes.
That's only 2 minutes each. We won't be able to say much in that time at all.
That's why you have to plan what you're going to say carefully and make sure you only include the most important information. For instance, you won't have time to give examples, but you could put some images on your slides that show examples without spending time talking about them.
Hey, that's a good idea, and the audience can look at them while we talk.
And another thing. Make sure all the slides have the same style. You should get together and agree on one style for the whole presentation.
OK, we'll do that too. Thanks a lot for your help.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear a discussion between two work colleagues and their manager about the restructuring of their company. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Come in, both of you. I believe you wanted to talk to me about something, is that right?
Yes. Basically, all the staff are concerned about what the restructuring of the company is going to mean for them. None more so than myself and Nam, as we are the newest members.
Oh, as I said to all staff at the meeting last week, there's no cause for concern. There will be no compulsory redundancies. All redundancies will be on a voluntary basis.
Yes, we understand that, but to tell the truth, we just want a little reassurance that our jobs are safe.
Look, Anne, and Penny, the company isn't going to be short-sighted and let its bright young minds go. Besides, we've already met our target for the number of voluntary redundancies we want to secure. In fact, there's a waiting list. You know as well as I do that the age profile of staff at this company needs to come down. A lot of our employees are close to retirement age and are just going through the motions until they can take their pensions. That's why we decided on this redundancy initiative. We want to encourage those that would be happy to leave to do so and employ younger, more motivated staff.
I guess that makes us feel a little better. But we're also worried about the upcoming salary review. What will it mean for us?
Given the fact that the company's motivation for this restructuring initiative is not to cut costs, one again, you needn't be worried that there will be a negative effect on your salaries. We are running a very profitable business, and we will reward our top performers in the upcoming review. Both of you fall into that category. So you can expect a healthy bonus and salary increase. Simple as that.
That's good to know. Another thing on our minds was the fact that With all these voluntary redundancies happening in the next few months, there will be a lot of positions opening up higher in the company. What we were wondering is, will the recruitment drive be an internal or an external one?
Obviously, we will recruit internally where possible. That has always been company policy. So, if you're asking me will there be opportunities to gain a promotion in the near future, then the answer is very definitely yes. The type of candidate we would be looking for has a proven track record and is performance-driven.
How can we improve our chances of getting promoted, then, when the opportunity arises?
Well, in the meantime, be prepared to take on additional responsibilities, especially those relating to the management of other members of staff. Obviously, the higher up you go in the company, the more involved you'll be in managing people. What the management team is looking for, then, is proof that you can work effectively with and manage other members of staff.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
One more thing.
Go on.
This project you've given us to manage, is it a test of our abilities?
I guess you could say it is a test of sorts, but look at it more as a chance for you to prove yourselves. Actually, now that I have you both here in private, can we talk about that a bit?
Of course.
Okay, Penny. Let's start with you. Has the timescale been agreed yet?
Yes. You said we have a total of 8 weeks to bring the product to launch. So we've decided to allocate 3 weeks at the beginning to product research and prototype testing.
Very good.
Then after that, we are going to spend a further 3 weeks formulating our marketing strategy and doing some research and testing on a sample of the target market itself to get some feedback.
And presumably, the last 2 weeks will be devoted to the launch?
Exactly.
Now, let's talk estimated costs.
Well, you've given us a total budget of £100,000. Of that, we're allocating 50% to product development and testing, a further 25% to marketing, and £25,000 will be spent on the launch.
Penny, give me a breakdown of the launch costs, would you?
Sure. £10,000 will be spent on hiring and decorating the venue, £10,000 will be spent on promotional work, and the remaining money will be used to pay for catering and administrative costs.
I'm very happy with that, to be honest. As I said, you guys should stop worrying. You're doing a fantastic job, so keep it up.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
In this section, you'll hear a lecture on coral reef. First, you have some time to read questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully to the lecture and answer questions 31 to 40.
Do you fancy diving in the wonderful world of coral reefs, green sponges, colourful fish and red crabs? It is a rich garden beneath the waves. But how much do you know about the corals? Are they animals or plants? What are the threats to coral reefs? Today, Mr. Tim Harford, Executive Director of the Coral Reef Alliance, is going to introduce the facts about coral reefs.
Good afternoon, everyone. Coral reefs are one of nature's most magnificent creations. It is filled with thousands of unique and valuable plants and animals. Over one quarter of all marine species depend on healthy coral reefs. Humans also depend on coral reefs. These marine ecosystems are the primary source of food and income for millions of people, a vast repository of valuable chemical compounds and medicines, and a natural wave barrier that protect beaches and coastlines from waves and storms. Coral is actually the exoskeletons of coral polyps. Made from limestone, these skeletons build up over time, forming the reef. New corals are born each April. At a certain hour, on a certain night, mature corals suddenly release clouds of eggs and sperm into the sea. After the fertilized eggs take root on the seafloor, they can grow up to 15 centimeters per year. Coral reefs are present in the waters of over 100 countries. These are warm, 18 to 29 degrees centigrade, shallow, sunny regions primarily between the tropics of Cancer and Capricorn. Only clear, warm salt water can support a coral reef. And because sunlight is crucial to the reef's survival, the water must also be shallow. The algae that grow on coral provide much of the coral's food. In deeper water, algae cannot get the sunlight they need to grow. Most coral reefs are in the tropics because natural conditions there are perfect. In their modern form, coral reefs have thrived on Earth for over 50 million years. In recent years, however, more than 11% of the world's reefs have been lost, with another 16% severely damaged during the El Niño event in 1998. Up to 32% of coral reefs may be destroyed by human activities in the next 30 years if we do not take action now. Corals and coral reefs are extremely sensitive. Slight changes in the reef environment may have detrimental effects on the health of entire coral colonies. These changes may be due to a variety of factors. One of the greatest threats to coral reefs is human expansion or development. As human population increases, so does the harvest of resources from the sea. Due to overfishing, reef fish populations have been greatly decreased in some areas of the world. The removal of large numbers of reef fish has caused the coral reef ecosystems to become unbalanced. As we know, corals are also very popular as decorations. A large amount of the most healthy corals are selected by commercial collectors. They sell the corals to souvenir shops, where a large number of tourists wait to purchase them as decorations or souvenirs. Coral reefs also receive much damage from both commercial and private vessels. The leakage of fuels into the water and the occurrence of spills by large tankers are extremely damaging to local corals. Although much of the coral reef's degradation is directly blamed on human impact, there are several natural disturbances which cause significant damage to coral reefs. The most recognized of these events are hurricanes or typhoons, which bring powerful waves to the tropics. These storm waves cause large corals to break apart and scatter fragments about the reefs. Home to a diverse community of creatures, coral reefs are underwater treasure chests of color and activity. Predators and prey swim and crawl among the coral in nature's never-ending dance of life and death. This lively, fascinating world beneath the waves is just waiting to be explored.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.